Thank you very much, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Get This back after Easter.
I hate days off. I hate it. I've got nothing to do.
It's Triple M. It's Get This. Myself, Tony Martin, and Cavalier. Sir.
Some glasses.
Nice bit of acting to kick off the week, Rich.
Thank you, Maestro.
Apparently you were on road.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it. What is there footage? Have we got clips?
No, probably some floating around. You didn't tell us.
It was just a two-word performance.
What were the two words?
I killed them.
And comedy ensues. Was the pants on or pixelated downstairs like last time?
I wish it was pixelated downstairs. I should have actually pixelated my face, but because I hadn't shaved that day. What are you doing, Marplan? Get in here for a sketch.
All right, just got my comedy wig.
We have had an exciting weekend.
Yeah.
I get in this morning and Richard says to me, Tone, did you see 20 Years of Rage?
Yeah. I assumed he was referring to my work with Mick Molloy.
Yes, I did.
I watched it inside.
It was terrific. Just thinking two decades, we'll be saying the same thing about the catch-up, but it was 6 hours of just solid, like, great clips, like the flagship video clips of every single year.
Yeah.
And some of the wonderful guest programmers who've drifted through. James Valentine guest programmed a raid.
Yeah, he did. Wasn't that back in the days of when he was on the it was like a cool dude in the afternoon, introducing Degrassi Junior High?
Yeah, when he was doing
throwing straight to Press Gang, the best TV show ever.
The afternoon show, yeah.
But did they show the old countdown? Did they show the decade of countdown?
No, I didn't do any of that.
The 1970s, the best one is when they review the entire 1970s. And obviously the week they shot at the Knack had gone to number one with My Sharona. So it's just a series of people just saying how great and influential the Knack are.
You got Paul McGrath.
Correct.
Well, you know what we were doing, and it's kind of like what the Knack are doing now.
It's a series of people
invoking the Knack. Paul Dillon.
Really?
Talking about the Knack.
Dillon.
The Knack.
But I think it's on every Saturday night, and they're up to 1991.
Mm. Right.
Okay, so I think next week's 91 to 97.
What a great TV show.
What about have you seen what Kevin Rudd's up to on the telly?
He's got a segment on Sunrise. Did you realise that?
No.
Look at this digger fury on Rudd insult. Vietnam veterans are offended by Kevin Rudd's request for a fake dawn service so he can commemorate Anzac Day live on Channel 7's breakfast show from Long Tan. The plan for an earlier service to coincide with the peak 7:15 TV ratings period was hatched by Mr. Rudd's office.
Hatched? And the staff of Sunrise several weeks ago. It's a bloody joke, said one veteran.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one dawn, you know. Koshy's coming out, wants to do a live cross, and because Australia's 3 hours of the air, they want a 3 a.m. service. It makes a mockery of the whole bloody thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rudd has also requested that the next FIFA World Cup final be staged next Thursday at 7:15. Because that's what he does his segment. The opening night of Les Miserables at the Opera House has been moved up to 7:15 in the morning, so Mr. Rudd can be seen walking up the red carpet live on his segment. The opening ceremony of the 2000 Olympic Games is being restaged at 7:15 tomorrow morning.
Very good news.
Followed on Thursday by the D-Day invasion of Normandy, live in the Channel 9 studios with many of the original cast.
Wow!
The first manned space flight to Mars, currently scheduled for 2030, is now happening next Tuesday morning at 7:15.
Anything's happening.
Good footage.
And finally, Mr. Rudd will be performing his victory speech from the federal election later this year at 7:15 on Monday, again on Wednesday, and on Friday, where he'll be accompanied by the late Jimi Hendrix. Somehow.
Wow.
Hendrix was unimpressed by his reanimation and enforced servitude on the set of Sunrise, saying,
"It's a bloody joke!"
That's all he was wont to do. You see what I'm saying? We've had 4 days off.
Yeah.
And it's been three blokes sitting around watching telly.
No, we was pretty sad in the office this morning.
Yeah.
All of us quietly admitting that we spent the weekend in front of television.
Ooh. We've got Ross Noble coming in later. Yeah. He's been driving around the country on a motorbike.
Living a life.
He's been outside.
Yeah.
We're going to have to pull our act together by the time Ross gets in here.
The other day I went out and it was hot and I had a jumper on, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And it was so hot that it was like clearly singlet weather. People glaring at me in the street while my face was sweaty, beads of sweat all over my face. I had to go home. YouTube for 3 or 4 hours.
Cool off. The safety, the sanctuary of YouTube. Let's get this program started and we'll be back to play.
Oh my God.
It's back.
Oh yes. Families, believe it or not.
Ross Noble is coming in, guys. We're going to need unusual facts.
Oh, okay.
And he's going around the country on a motorbike. Yeah. Did you know that?
I did.
Looking for eccentric Australians.
Yeah.
What about that bloke with the anti-gravity wheelbarrow?
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah. How's he going?
It's an old water pump with gravity written on the side.
Yeah. See, that's working against him. He's plugging the opposition.
Who's written gravity on the side of my anti-gravity machine?
Oh, and I forgot to mention skateboard wheels on the bottom. So really,
skateboard wheels.
It's all taken care of.
He'll be out of the old guy in
Gippsland.
And the gravity gets sucked into a pipe.
Yeah.
Goes down into the wheelbarrow and gets turned into
non-gravity.
Gravity.
Antimatter. All right. That sounds like something you'd hear about in Cavalier's Believe It or Not. Hang on a second, just before you hit that, you realise that we've had no Nickelback this year.
What?
There's been no Nickelback. I don't think on.
That's because you know why.
Tinder.
You've broken the rules.
Oh, what's the rule?
You know the rule. What does it say on the music log?
Well, they're still on the crown. That's
what does it say on the music log? Yeah?
Don't mention that somebody, the Hindus sound like Nickelback, people don't like Nickelback.
Well, didn't mean to mention that.
People wouldn't have thought of that for themselves. Okay. Well, thanks to Ed, Nickelback is back.
Oh, yes.
Because it's time to play Cavalier, Believe It or Not. Thank you, Chad Krogan, Nate Turton, former trampoline champion turned lead singer of Nickelback. What are we playing?
Cavalier, Believe It or Not.
How does it work?
For those of you who've never heard it before, buckle up, because it's a hell of a ride. I've got me Take 5 magazine, I've dragged out headlines, some of which are real, and other ones I've made up. The Cavalier, I've made them up. So I asked Richard and Tone the questions, and we'll save some for Ross. And then you say whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
And either I'm right or you're right.
Yeah.
Okay? And whoever wins gets a sandwich. So, first one. We ready?
Yes.
My mower is a racing bike. My mower is a racing bike.
I reckon that's real.
What? Okay. You're right.
Oh, okay.
A guy, Jay Dean from Junction Hill in New South Wales, won $50 because he sent in this thing where he put a lawnmower on the front of his push bike, and he says he's with the cost of fuel these days, it's the most efficient way of getting around.
That's fantastic. And where is that in New South Wales?
In Junction Hill,
in Victoria, that would be an anti-gravity machine,
flying out here ET style. All right, so ready?
Yep.
Richard, good.
We've sorted that one out.
Okay, ready? You ready?
Yeah.
I'm growing duck fruit.
Look, I reckon you've made that one up because it's a combination of two words that shouldn't be together.
You reckon that's Cavalier?
Yeah.
Incorrect, my friend.
Sarah,
a girl, Sarah Stokes from Thornville in WA, has sent in, look at that, a tomato she's grown in the shape of a duck.
She's
genetically modified.
She's seen a hole in the market.
Yeah.
For duck shaped fruit.
For a menagerie. Look at that.
And how has she encouraged an apple to become duck shaped?
It's a tomato, Tone. She doesn't
that
say.
That would be ludicrous.
She doesn't say. But she got $50. So right. If it looked like the Virgin Mary, she would have got heaps more for it, though.
Hang on. If she could get a second fruit to grow into the shape of a duck, she could then lean it against the first one while they're having sex. $25 from the Double Decker Department of People magazine.
$75. If she can somehow shave it a bit to make it look like the Virgin Mary, thousands on eBay.
Do they still do the double-decker department?
No.
Any two objects that appear to be roofing, and it's $25.
People magazine?
That's people used to do that. Santa Chilara. Santa Chilara always sent in every week for 5 years a picture of a double-decker bus. Nothing else. Never won.
Right, you ready? Tony.
Yeah. There's only two of us here.
Shush. I fixed the fence with a post.
Yes.
Somebody broken down and they fixed it. They got $50 sent in a phonograph of their ingenious husband who thought to put a fence post into a fence. $50.
Is it a fence post made from a tomato?
No.
That would be worthwhile.
It doesn't look like anybody. All right, ready?
Yep.
Man fixes flat tire with tire fixing.
How's this?
$50 for you, my friend.
Yes.
Ready, Richard?
Yeah.
I threw up in my sleeve.
Well, I know this one is actually true. And, even if I didn't know the story, you would have seen it somewhere.
It's true, isn't it?
It's true. Say who it was, but it was a formerly well-known Melbourne comedian was chatting up Andrea Powell, who comes on the show, chatting her up, and then just all of a sudden throws up in his own sleeve. And then asks someone else, do you reckon she spotted that? And then went back for a second dip about an hour later.
New jumper on it, the same one.
Yeah.
Still keeping it in his sleeve.
Is that it?
Well, it's two more, but we could save them.
I save them for Ross.
Yeah.
Let's hit Ross.
They're the good ones, too.
Cavaliers.
All right, there we go.
But,
so there we go, everyone. If anyone who's been looking forward to that, sorry about it.
Disappointing.
Crime Watch will win him back.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, Crime Watch next on Get This.
Love, that's you too here at Get This Around the Nation, where need I remind you,
it's capable. Are you capable, Australia?
No, they're capable out there, Tyrone.
Are you capable of wearing a cape to work? Not a cloak, not some sort of Obi-Wan robes. We're talking a cape, like a superhero would wear. Just over your normal clothes.
My phone is.
We need to be more...
He's nutting out this broadcasting cape.
We need to be specific.
Yeah.
Because there's a lovely guy on my MySpace who's got his coat from work.
Sure.
Good work for being the first one in, but that's not a cape.
No good.
There's a guy in a yellow cape just walking into his work with a briefcase. That looks damn fine.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. And then there's a dog. Someone's got their dog in, a bath towel sitting in the backyard.
Is the dog working in the backyard? You know what I mean? It's good, though, but it's good.
This is Glenn Smith, who's emailed us from Japan with
Mitty.
Photographs of him just programming his VCR.
Very tape on.
A train driver's hat, which is nice.
He's not there to leave the house.
He's got a flat cap on. Clearly, he drives a vintage car. Okay, is that really the total sum?
Tony, this is the problem with days off.
The dog is way ahead at this point.
People don't trust us. They think we're offering an iMac, a proper 24-inch iMac.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's just get this taken to piss. It'll turn out to be, an old copy of Take 5 and some expired tacos from the prize cupboard at Triple M.
No, it's an actual iMac.
Yeah.
And, of course, 247.
Giving some away.
Get this.
Where are the three? We've lost three already.
That's the ones that we're keeping.
Never mind.
Here, as you were.
Nicky's handing me a piece of paper that's just got box of sand written on it. The iMac's falling through, people. I'm saying it's a box of sand.
Well, see, that's another person.
Bad luck.
For Ross Noble's tour of Eccentric.
Yeah.
The bloke who was selling boxes of sand on the computer, passing them off as on the computer, on the internet.
He's selling them as computers.
Yeah.
Whilst from his lofty 24th floor office, which was just an old 4 days off, has killed my brain. This is awful. Sorry.
It's not the normal fizzing popping energy centre it normally is.
The Telegraph folder he lived in before he was dragged down by his stripper wife with photographs of herself.
Yeah, that's right. A man lived at the top of a pole in
Rochester
for being sent to jail for being caught selling boxes of sand and passing them off as computers.
He is our man of the year at this point.
And the runner-up is a guy who thought he was Michael Chiklis.
Yeah.
The guy who tried to buy explosives, allegedly.
Posing as?
Posing as the thing.
Fantastic.
And, of course, third runner-up, the Geelong footballer who drank a bottle of sunscreen off the back of someone's porch because he was that thirsty. All right, let's have Crime Watch.
Requesting road lights and everything.
Why not?
That'll work.
Have you got some great crime footage from the news, Mr. Marsden?
This is magnificent. It's from Today Tonight last week. And they love boons.
They love boons.
They love boons.
Show off. Some people have taken upon themselves to vigilante up the suburban streets of Australia and have actually bought their own speed camera guns and are taking it upon themselves to monitor people and clock them speeding and then report the license plates to the police.
Are they hiding at all? Are they trying to disguise themselves?
Yeah, they've got signs out the front of their house saying, you know, this area is under surveillance. They've bought their own cameras just to keep the speed down on their
own. Amazing.
And, some streets are partial to, are very good for drag racing on.
Sure.
Because they're straight, there's no speed humps and what have you, and some residents in Queensland have actually taken umbrage to this.
Mm.
And worked out their own brand of vigilante justice.
Sick of their street being used as a racetrack, residents of Matilda Town on the Gold Coast blockaded it with their own vehicles to trap the hands until police arrived. It resulted in a reality check and old-fashioned tongue-lashing from the local traffic cops.
What are you doing here? What are you looking for in a booty arse?
That cop needs his own show. Just every week it comes out and dishes out.
What you're looking for is a booty arse.
And is he wearing his own police uniform he's made?
No, I was just thinking that.
Like little plain card epaulette.
I like to think it's like really elaborate too. A really big hat. He comes out with brass everywhere, holding a spatula that he's shined up. Spatula of justice.
Hey, what did he, the excuse was good. I'm looking for Sean.
That'll get us out of this.
Break him to the wicker man.
Here's some great crime. Bikey wars in Victoria.
But is it
bikey?
They're being targeted. It's easy to blame bikey.
This is good. Get on the bikey side. Who else could be responsible for hurling Molotov cocktails at a house? Listen to this from the Channel 9 News.
A Werribee property owned by the Rebels Motorcycle Club has been targeted by arsonists. Molotov cocktail was hurled at the block of units just after 1 o'clock last night. Detectives can't confirm if a rival gang is responsible or whether it's just children. 5 weeks ago, unknown gunmen fired 30 bullets into the Geelong headquarters of the Rebels' rivals, the Bandidos.
Yeah, that would have been children as well, I'm guessing.
When is the police going to crack down on children? The Ribena cocktails.
Children have been getting away from it for too long.
So the police are sitting there going, well, Molotov cocktail through the front of a bikey headquarters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm smelling children.
Yeah, that's right, I reckon. Get down to the kindergarten. Confiscate all their bottles and kerosene.
What do they need, Mr. Marsden?
You know what they need?
What you're looking for is a booty arse.
You've come to the right program.
This show just does not have enough Ross Noble.
Yeah, that's my problem with it.
True. He's not meant to be here till the next hour. No. Do you reckon we can make some calls and get him in early?
I reckon it's a good chance.
Let's do that.
The radio magic.
Helping women feel sexy again.
Get this on Triple M around the nation. We can't disguise it anymore. Ross Noble's there.
I'm a little bit like a naughty child who wasn't allowed to play. That's here. It's going. I brought you some gifts as well.
I'll bet you.
Really?
Look.
They got gifts. Wow. He's brought presents for us.
Jeez. Presents?
Oh my God.
I
got my DVD.
Wow.
Well, I was, going to come in and shamelessly plug my DVD.
Right. It looks fantastic.
Which I've got you all a copy of, and I thought, it's a bit of ego, isn't it, to say, oh, here, have my DVD. So what I've done is, right?
Tempered it.
What I've done is that I went to the shop and I've bought you each a Carry On DVD.
DVD
of
Carry On, did you say?
You see, I've got three DVDs. There's Carry On Henry.
Yes.
England and there's me. So, I mean, you know, my DVD, don't feel obliged to watch it.
Wow.
I just thought that would be a nice thing to do. But look, there's three Carry On films.
Oh.
And we're going to have to fight over
and
who gets which,
right? I would go Henry. Henry's actually my favourite.
Yeah, I don't think Sid James' story is in Carry On England.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the Sid James last night?
No.
You've been watching TV all weekend.
Yeah.
Last night, at midnight on ABC, Bless This House, the movie.
Oh, the movie! Which wouldn't have had the theme song. See, that's the bad part about those movies.
Well, I think there was a little... I'll tell you what it did have, though, in terms of the music, because there's a lot of people like the oboe.
Oh, yeah.
Always carrying a shed.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great scene in it where for no reason somebody falls in some concrete. He's just building it. But at one point, the two of them, because they're building an illegal still.
Oh, yeah.
Shed.
Good idea.
Neighbour moved in, and he's a customs and excise guy.
Right.
Well, they're trying to hide it. And at one point, they get tangled up in a hill hunt. Right? And the music played on the oboe is, here we go around the bulberry bush. So they're trying to turn off the illegal.
See, if that disturbs, you know how the Americans won't allow, you know, footage from the Iraq War. They won't let you see the coffins with the flags being brought home. If they just had a bit of oboe music under everything, just to take the edge off.
But even when the soldiers are going into battle, you know how they used to have, like, in Vietnam, and they're flying in. You know, obviously, with the complete disaster they've made of Iraq, it would be brilliant if they had, just as all the Humvees are driving in, something's going to happen here. Terry Scott's going to get shot with a mortar and fall in some concrete.
Rounding up the insurgents with a bit of Gimme That Ding.
All right, Robbie. Every time they bring them out in here.
People will be more on side. We have got so much to talk about on this show this morning and indeed this afternoon. But we need some music. Ed, can you give us something new, please?
No, what I've got.
We've got guests here.
No, I know. I've taken us back to Rich's goth days. We're in the proscenium, people.
Oh, yeah.
Rich has got the makeup on. They're making out like crazy to Tainted Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just going to lay this fat beat on you. A 2, 3, 4.
Good Charlotte.
Is the words I was pronouncing there when the satellite just kicked in. It's Triple M around the nation. The program is to get this.
Right.
Ross Doble is with us, so let's climb Talkback Mountain.
Before we get to any other business, Ross, what's that thing in your hands?
Oh, sorry.
You've pushed it a couple of times.
I've pushed it.
What have you done?
It's stigmata for Easter.
I'll
tell you what about when I was on my bike the other day, like normally you wouldn't grip the hand fast with the bike, you know, you just throw them lightly. Mm. But I was so cold because I went from New South Wales back into Victoria, okay. And all of a sudden I had my summer clothing on and I was freezing. I've got heated grips on my bike. So I turned the heated grips right up and then with my left hand was gripping very hard to try and get as much warmth into my hand and I got a little bit of a blister that and it burst and now I look like the left hand side of our Lord Jesus. Listening to it on a bike. People were shouting at that. So, I've got a horrible disease wound, which I didn't think would matter on the radio.
Sorry. We're going to find out what's been happening on your bike in the next hour. But
for this DVD,
now, I remember you put out a DVD, I think it might have been of Unreal Time.
With the two.
Where you had a bonus extra of just a whole second concert.
Yeah.
And then that was enough. I better do a commentary on the concert.
Well, I've done that again, but it's like, it was 9 hours on that.
That is amazing. You need 2 hands to pick it up.
But my problem is that, you know, like yourself, I'm a DVD. You know, when I buy a DVD, I want something scuffy.
All the bells and whistles.
And there's like that thing, like if it falls out, obviously it's got the cellophane on it at the moment, but the thing inside falls out and there's all little pamphlets and things and
there's pamphlets.
Pamphlets.
I love a
booklet than a pamphlet. Pamphlet's more about sort of disease.
I've been campaigning because normally, if you open up one of these, they carry on Henry.
Yeah.
There won't be a booklet in there.
Yeah, look, but they've got
the clips are still there, locking. Oh, yes, it could be holding something if we wanted.
Oh, no, you'll see. Oh, if you want.
That's
one of the extras as well.
Let's get this thing out.
And get inside, right? you've been complaining for pamphlets. Oh, you won't be disappointed.
What's in? My God, this is an oracle. So much folding out to be done. Four discs, six
6 hours mixers. This thing is called Random It, by the way.
Yeah, what did that last? Yeah, look at those cards.
Those cards.
Look at it.
It's a poster much like the one I got of Dick Emery.
That's where I got the idea from. It's the full, you know. What you want.
I love it when there's just too much stuff on the DVD.
Exactly, but I couldn't stop myself. It was like I was going, oh, we'll put that on. Oh, and then what if we did this? And then we did, and then it just kind of spiraled out of control. And
I
came back and went, you do realise this is going to have to be 4 discs.
But we love that. I just worked on a DVD recently and I did so many extras. They're going, oh, mate, you can't have that many extras on a DVD. It's upstaging the film. Mm. And I'm going, whoever takes a DVD back to the shop and says, I've paid my money, there's just too much on here.
Upstaging the film. But like, people are going to come in and go, do you have the extras? And is the film included?
And I'm going, how can you upstage a film that had a national cinema release?
Yeah,
This is my favourite bit, Ross. Yes. You've got an ad here. I don't know, but a postcard.
Yeah, a little postcard.
A little postcard there. It's got Ross Noble's Sonic Waffle and the cover of the DVD amongst some muffins.
Yeah.
Right? Is this you? Did you plan this?
I love it. Yeah. Exactly what I planned.
Right?
Yeah. Look at this. I love the fact that you picked that one up. There's an actual monkey holding the other one. That is a live monkey.
That's
not Photoshop. That monkey is actually holding that DVD.
And then look of surprise on his face, too.
Yeah. And I've got a picture in my wallet with me with that monkey on my head.
We love someone who goes to too much trouble for their DVD here and get this. And that is what Ross Noble has done with Random. Is this in the shops now?
It is, yeah. It's out now.
That is superb.
Thank you. That's quite all right.
Lovely gift. Yeah, Robert du jour here at Talkback. What is it? Name. We're talking names today. Yeah. Someone has named their child Metallica.
Daughter Metallica.
Yeah. Is that a good name for a child? Metallica?
Oh, it's a brilliant name. Yeah.
Well, a big argument in my family when my sister had her first child. Mm-hmm. My brother got, he was allowed to give the kid its middle name.
Yeah.
And there's various other family names that have to be tacked on to the end, but the middle name was all his. And his two choices were Rocket and Soldier.
Mm.
And they got shouted down. I was there the day. He said, how about Rocket?
Well, you can't call Rocket.
How about Soldier?
You can't call it Soldier.
So they went with John.
John.
But
happy middleman.
He should have given them both. Rocket Soldier.
He was.
Rocket Soldier Cavalry.
This is what he wanted. John got the nod.
But a little baby called Metallica, colon, some kind of monster.
That looked good. Just that's on the nice. Bed.
That's very nice.
In the window.
Listen to this. A Florida man argues that his ex-wife's sex change should end his obligation to pay alimony. So this guy's saying, you know, this lady's had a sex change, she's now a man, so it's now my ex-wife who's a man, I don't have to pay any more alimony. But listen to this, listen to that, to the lady, now a man. Bizarre coincidence. She's legally changed her name to Julio Roberto Silverwolf.
That is a brand name in itself.
Thank you, full advantage.
Silverwolf. Oh, that's going on live.
The name of your next show. Ross Noble, Silverwolf. That's not like one of your shows.
There's an inline skater, a female inline skater called Fabiola de Silva.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I thought, oh, yeah. Fabiola de Silva. I had an ex-girlfriend who I insisted, she was a bit, you know, she was talking about kids and that. She said, what would you call a kid? And I went, Yoda. Like, and I said, Yoda. And I was only half pissing about, you know, Yoda, like that. And she picked off like you wouldn't believe.
Really?
And I would never have a child. You know that minute where you go, well, you're going to get dumped now. and then it was one of those things where I then used that at any time I was feeling a bit mischievous. I would just bring that up and then constantly, Yoda. You can't call a kid Yoda. Yes, you can. Perfect. Yoda all day. You know what? You just push it and push it.
It's rubber belly thing. One day little Yoda will be in here.
Call him Yoda, would you?
You get very angry about that.
This is what I'm saying.
Because I think it's one of the great things about having a child. But that you get to call it anything you want.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a newsreader that we like, or a reporter on Channel 10 News called Summer Burke.
Summer Burke.
And we just think that she's got to be signing off this way.
She was also fined $1,050. If she doesn't pay, she could spend 21 days in jail. Summer Burke.
Why not? It's on a plane. Okay, what's your name? Is that what we're playing?
Yeah, what's your name? Or what would you like to be called?
Let's go with that, just in case no one calls.
I would very much like to have triplets, and I'd like to call them Benji, Dakota, and the Alien Prince.
The MP goes.
Another
the MP. Potential Mrs. Noble has just unsigned, unsubscribed. Okay, call us up. Tell us your name or the name you'd like to have or just anything to do with names. Because often we don't get many callers. Here we get this, 1-3-3-5-3. And then a big smash bounce here and get this right. Noble is with us and we're saying, what's your name? Who's going first?
Hang on a sec, Tom. Yeah. Because during the song, you know, we keep chatting and stuff like that. Yeah. Now, I've known you about 2 years now.
Yeah.
And the happiest I've ever seen you in my life was the, was the day that your Nightmare Before Christmas Laserdisc showed up. Criterion edition. That was one of the happiest smiles I've ever seen on your face. About? Until just now, when you
were in Criterion Edition.
Oh, sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I'm sorry, Tony. What is it?
The new Criterion Edition.
Yeah, the Criterion people invented the commentary track. That was their idea in 1984.
But that moment that moment has been surpassed. For when you and Ross were going through the sleeves of the many catacombs of his DVD, and Ross said to you, if you unlock the interactive quiz, I've never seen two happier men in my life.
The whole additional concert. If you unlock the interactive door,
see,
that is going to too much trouble for your DVD. Nothing gets more points from me. How sad is that?
Hello, Evan. How are you?
Good, guys. Yourself?
We're happy. Yeah, we've got many extras. Talk us through some names.
Okay. Well, my wife and I are big Beatles fans, so when my first daughter was born, we named her Lucy Skye.
That's nice.
Our second daughter was born, and her name was Penny Lane.
Yeah.
So that's my two. My best mates, here's a quite amusing. His firstborn son was called Alex Proton.
Right.
And their daughter was named Georgie Dirtbike. On her birth certificate, Georgie Dirtbike.
Fantastic.
Oh, Beatles name.
Is that to live up to?
A good idea.
Helter Skelter?
Yeah, Helter Skelter. You don't want to call them that. How old are these kids?
Alex is 5, Georgie's 3.
That's too young for the LSD, I would have thought.
my two are 3 and 1.5.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you, Evan. Keep up the good work.
All right,
thanks,
guys. Used to be a guy worked here at the station, I think a music director. And he had 4 kids all named after 80s bands. And I can't remember who they were, but one was called Duran.
Oh.
There was one called Kajagoogoo.
He was praying for twins. hey, Luke, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks, guys.
Good, man. We're talking to your name.
Yeah, well, this is the name that I actually want to name my son. It's Benjamin Elliot Edmund Rankin. His initials spell out beer.
Oh, that's
but I'm afraid of when I do have this kid, when I ask my wife to get me a beer, she's going to sit the kid on my lap.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a risky move, obviously.
Crack open a beer. nasty business. Thank you, Luke. Very nice. Hello, Simon. How are you?
I'm well.
Oh, good. And talk me through it.
I've got a customer at work, and with our work, we ask their last name first, then their first name, and he goes, good, jolly.
I imagine like a round, horsey, pudding-filled, happy guy, is he?
Yes, he is.
All right. Is he going to get his own program, The Jolly Good Show?
Well, I think he's a builder or a plumber.
Nice.
Jolly Good, can we talk Jolly
Michael,
Good?
Hi, Michael, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, mate?
Really good, man. Talk us through the name.
Well, first, I've just got to say I'm a big fan, but you never reply to me on MySpace.
Listen, Michael, I got a lot of people to get to, you know what I'm saying?
See, this is Ross Noble. Do you have a MySpace?
I do have a MySpace, but I don't. I'm not as active as I'd like to be.
It's a lot of maintenance.
If people kick off, why didn't you admit me as a friend? I don't even know what that means. You know, I'm smiling at you now. Be happy.
Well, no, I will reply, Michael. I promise I will reply. Talk us through the name.
Okay, I've got two names for you. It's my dog and my sister's dog.
Yeah.
Mine's called The People. Yeah. So I can go around and say, I'm going to feed the people.
You're good like
let
that.
Let me guess. And your sister's dog is called Versus Larry Flint.
No, my sister's dog is called Syndrome.
Larry's going to be our
drug you, mate. Especially when Joker's in the pub. What possible offence could that cause?
Thank you, Michael. Sorry about tardiness on the mic.
All right. One, we got one for Alan. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys.
What do you got, Brad?
This is a name that I heard quite a few years ago. This is a show in Sydney called the Super Flying Fun Show.
Oh, yeah.
And a contestant had wrote in, and his name was Awesome Car. The crew in that were absolutely in hysterics laughing. They had to go to a break.
Cracked over to new material. Laying him in the aisle. Wow.
I don't know. Do you think that's a real name? My mum always claimed that she knew someone called All and Sundry.
No.
O-R-L-A-N-D-S-U-N-D-A-R-Y.
Really?
But then she claimed a lot of things there.
I know a guy called Neil Downward. Well, I'm not making this up. I genuinely know a bloke called Richard Grocock. Dick Grocock.
Dick Grocock.
Did you see that? What's his name? You know the freaky one that married Liza Minnelli? He was on a reality TV show in the UK, and he came out with this. He just went, I know a woman called Vagina Gathemon.
He must have been in a desperate corner in that jungle. Because keep in mind, David Jess is just a face drawn on a balloon. Thanks to everyone who pulled up.
Thank you.
Was named and shamed.
We'll do it again. There were too many to get to.
We certainly will. And we've got more Ross Noble in the remainder of this hour. Very good afternoon, tackle. You were the person who alerted us here at Kidness to the, well, the, probably the best musical number we've ever seen, our Logie.
Yeah, possibly the best piece of television ever.
Yeah.
Wow. The Logie song we've done, Symphony of a Station for 20 wonderful years.
And a bit of rapping. Who was rapping in that?
Harold.
Harold.
Yeah, and Circus Trick that went wrong. And I highly recommend it. Like,
it's on the YouTube.
It is on
the YouTube.
It's just Neighbours song and then Neighbours 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
And it's thousands of it. It's a badly thought out band. Just people that don't fully want to be doing it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We want to get them to do it again at this year's Logie. Wouldn't that be good, the new cast?
Oh. That is. Yeah. But the trouble is, they might get the technical people might get it right.
Yeah. Could rule the play,
I couldn't be risking that. But, you know, it was perfect.
All right, Ross.
Can I just say as well, if you are on the YouTube, I've got, you know, I'm doing a tour on the bike.
Yeah, it's progress.
There's a little clip of all the things I've been up to.
And what do you type in to see that?
Ross Noble in IN. Just in.
All right.
In, and it's on there, and you can have a little look, and it's, you know.
We'll have a look at that during the song.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back to discuss it next on Get This. Good times. Huda Gurus here at Get This on Triple M. Is there a better way to spend a night in the theatre than in the company of Ross Noble?
Hello, with us.
He's in Google Randomness for this set out now. You've got to check that out. But to see him in person, Busy Logic, that's the show you're going to be booking on for.
Yes, the Melbourne Town Hall.
Yes.
I nearly forgot to say that I was too busy telling you about YouTube and doing the thing. The fact that I'm actually out there. The Melbourne Town Hall, very lovely.
And you've been everywhere. You've been going around.
I don't know.
But you're on a motorbike and you're on tour, but you're also filming, and we're being filmed right now for some kind of documentary.
Yeah, I'm shooting the whole thing too. The problem is that, like, last time I was in and I said, oh, yeah, I'm looking for interesting people to meet, and, you know, I'll
people in their shed up to something.
Exactly.
Where it was just right.
I'll put it. Unfortunately, that has been interpreted as sending an email and tell me to come and get paid if you like.
How many discs of the DVD would just be there?
Well, it would, because the trouble is I don't drink. So it's basically, I've had like hundreds and hundreds of people say, hey, just come to my house. You want to meet my mate? And I go, why? Like, no actual reason. You know, turn up.
Could be good.
But I did have an exceptionally, the funnest thing I've done so far is I was in a shop, the guy walks up and he goes, you're driving around Australia on your motorbike, aren't you? I went, yeah, and he went, follow me. But now, I don't know whether that meant he was going to go ahead and clear the road for wildlife or what was going to happen. He said, you want to meet my mate? He's got a Harley Davidson Earth.
Oh,
and this is a motorbike sidecar, but it takes a coffin.
Oh, yes!
So we ended this guy's house, and I said, well, can I have a go? Sort of meaning, can I have a ride?
Right.
He says, yeah, no problem. So he puts his helmet on and gestures for me to lie
in the coffin.
And then next thing you know, we're driving at Harley Davidson quite fast around a cemetery. We went to the cemetery and just the first thing was, I'm lying there. And I'm lying with my, I thought best across here. in a dead body fashion. And then he went, we'll head back then, because his garage was just over the road from the ceremony. Cemetery, yeah. There was a ceremony going on.
Sure,
And then as we pull out like that, it was. Like, as normally, you don't see people leaving the cemetery with a body. And then, so we pull out, and there's this guy driving this four-wheel drive who sort of double-takes the fact that his bloke's got a body on the thing. And I went, all right, give a little bit. And he was like, this guy's
thinking,
wow. So, you know, there's little things like that have kind of, you know.
You've got to keep that footage. And, you know, years from now, when you finally, you know, pass away, Ross, years from now at the end of a four-disc set.
Yeah.
They could just run that footage. Here we go, footage from the noble ceremony.
Yeah.
Just set up a bit. Yeah. Benny Hill music, haven't
you? Oh, yeah. Ready to go. Definitely what's going to be at my funeral, without a shadow of doubt. And now we commit him to the eternal flame.
What's going on in people's houses? Like, what about any, like, weird shrines or anyone, like, built the world's largest Bundy rum, something or another?
Well,
or
like I say, I haven't really been in many people's houses. Although, I tell you what I would recommend, and my wife and I did this in the UK, go and look at houses. You have no intention of buying.
Oh, yeah. I know people who do this for a hobby.
Oh,
yeah, my mum is
one of those people. There was one we went to. It's not terrible, isn't it? But one we went to, the woman collected dragon.
Oh, yes.
And there was a whole, and there was this really odd thing where it was a perfectly normal suburban living room. And then there was just dragons. And then, like, snow domes with dragons inside. But loads of them. And then, like, in the other corner of the room, a tiny mirror ball. And it's on the ceiling.
Dragon disco.
Yeah. Like, she's gone, like, at night, like, when it gets dark, she goes, I think we'll only need a dragon. puts the mirror ball on and stands and looks at the dragon.
Often, though, that's the real estate agent. Like, you know, that one.
Jazzing it up.
So the real estate agent will come in and go scope it out and go, you know what this needs to really get this thing moving? Tiny mirror ball, lots of dragons.
Yeah. There's antiques roaster. You can actually hire them now.
The number 42, bring them in.
And the real estate agent stood there in, like, dressed as like Willow. I don't think.
A fair house you will not find.
Ian threatened to mention Antiques Roadshow. That's right. Something we'd love to do. Let's do that next. I get this. Never let you go here and get this around the nation where Ross Noble is sitting in with us and being filmed by, who is this gentleman, and is he just following you everywhere?
I'm not allowed to name him.
Oh, okay. Mr. Ed.
He's like a
mystery figure.
One of the ring wraiths. As soon as he turns that camera off, he ceases to exist. So that's Pete.
I like
Pete. He's doing his best to appear to be taller.
Nice try, mate. It's beautifully framed up there. Here's a letter to the paper. I love an angry letter about comedians. To the
come on.
This is Peter D. Circuit of Hawthorne, who's written to the Melbourne Herald Sun. He says, 40 years ago, comedian Dave Allen could keep a whole family laughing non-stop for an hour on national TV. I'd like to see one of our modern comedians do that.
Here's the DVD. How many hours is it?
No. What about 7 hours?
Yeah.
7 hours. I mean, Dave Allen was great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea that comedy ends for Dave Allen.
Yeah, but the other thing is, as well, is that that bloke there is exactly the sort of person that, let's not forget, the risk of becoming a comedy geek here, Dave Allen, in his time, was one of the edgiest, most complained about comedy.
That's right.
You know, like,
that's
true. He would talk about stuff that, you know, religion, and he would talk about all kinds of, you know, just taboo things.
That's
and
right.
Everyone goes, oh, Dave Allen, oh, he was, you know, oh, he was
a number of.
And he'd tell his stories and stuff. But at the time, it was, you know, the Catholics used to go mad with stuff,
right.
You know.
So he'd have the Pope water skiing or something.
Yeah,
and the show would be taken off for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But this always happens. You have, you know, things that were edging dangerous become more mainstream. Because in the paper today, listen to this, people went to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers over the weekend and walked out when support act Karma Superstar, now you know what you're in for when he steps out on stage, got down to his underpants and started dancing. I don't remember when the Chili Peppers,
that's all they did,
was overdressed for the Chili Peppers.
But is it not to do with the fact that he's not really a man that should be in his underpants?
No,
he's a larger man, and you know that. I went to see the Pixies.
I saw them as well.
Am I a musical?
No, I saw them in Sydney.
Oh, right. Okay.
Amazing.
It was. I went along mainly to see Jarvis Cocker.
Jarvis
is hilarious. I've got a cow named after
that's nice.
So,
how many cows have you got?
Yeah.
Four.
Really?
Yeah.
Dairy? Oh, I thought you meant Dave.
What?
Can he be called Jarvis? Yes, he dare. No, they're just
set down. Yeah.
It's cool, you know, nice little cow.
Tempted to ride them?
You know what? Before I got them, yes, but they're kind of, but that's a bit like riding your nan. You know, like on paper, you think that'd be hilarious. But, you know, she's frail and you don't want her.
Yeah.
And then, the Pixies, they said on stage, I was mad. It was like a sponsored event. The sponsors are going, oh, we took some brand and meatballs. Bouncing around. And they just stopped. And just, this was the, just pound guys, stop. And the band all stopped. And, Frank Black goes, I'm sorry, Pixies don't do beach balls.
Yes.
What a good. Is that being laid out in a manifesto at any point? Has any.
That's why they broke up for so many years.
Hang on, you don't do beach balls? What?
Well,
I don't care who you are, if somebody turns up at your gig with a beach ball, you do beach balls. You know?
Is there anywhere where you would draw the line, Ross? You know, if you saw something going on down there?
One of the shows in the UK, a fight broke out.
Yeah. What about?
There was a full beach volleyball team.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
Do I put the sand on the floor? this woman had sort of, there's a drunk man and he was making a bit of noise. And she, rather than keep the noise down, had basically said in her own terms, you should be quiet. And she might have also mentioned the fact that all I heard was F off midget. That's all I heard. And then there was security. But as I stand there going, Ross Noble doesn't do midget face fighting.
I think he does.
My guy's more than encouraging. If you are a person of restricted growth, turn up to Monsieur down the front.
Drop you.
Yeah. Feel free to punch away.
Midget brawls, that's what you can expect if you come along and see Ross Noble in Fizzy Logic. It's at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and then chances are he's showing up in your town on his motorbike, just filming you. Are we going to have a break, Mr. Martin? And then, what about Unusual Facts?
We've been have so many. Look at how many pub ammos I've kept. Look at the magazine over the last year, just waiting for Ross to come back. That'll be next.
Don't get that on the beat, I'm next to you.
On Triple M. Good morning, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane, and Sydney. Or good afternoon, if you prefer. Sorry, we're still catching up because Ross Noble. He's air distracting us. We were talking. There was a breaker just at the beginning of that air break where you heard a guy go, "You don't get out on the beat, Max." That was Jim from EastEnders. Ross, have you been sort of in EastEnders?
Oh, you were just yes, I host this for my shows. When we, I get text messages of people going, "You were on EastEnders tonight," and when I do the shows in London, we have the big fly posters. They put them up on the wall, and of course, because Albert Square is a, you know, realistic thing, they get the posters and they actually put them up. So frequently there'll be sort of, you know, a couple of characters talking about, you know, how they're going to go and visit their, you know, dying mother in hospital. There'll be a picture of me.
The dying mother bit going, "Oh, I must book tickets."
Yes,
Fizzy Logic.
Exactly,
yes. And I love because EastEnders is, you know, a few years behind here. But what they're doing is...
Oh, right.
But they're showing like two episodes a night so that slowly but surely it's catching up. Right, and the only way you can tell is what music is being played in the shop. So, you know, at the moment... It's like, who let the dogs out? It's still playing in the shop.
He's wearing E17 T-shirts.
We need some trivia. That's what we need.
I used to live in East 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it an accurate reflection?
The band? Not only was it, it was a terrifying, terrifying likeness.
You into that though? Did you have the hat?
Oh, the full hat.
With the metal bit on the front?
The gnome style. Yeah. I used to wear. Well, East 17, East 17, which is also famous for, you know, those big terrorist bus that they did? That was at the end of Arrow Street.
All right.
And sort of, the East 17 is a bit, Waltham's close.
Is it tough? Because the kids there were tough. It was the name of the album as well, wasn't it, Waltham's, though?
Oh, was
best album, yes.
Oh, right,
sorry.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't enough E17 questions in that music quiz a couple of weeks ago, was there?
Yes, it is. It's a very sort of, it's the sort of area where, you know, like I bought a house there because everyone went, "You're mad, why would you?" And I went, why not? The houses are really cheap. And I didn't fully understand the whole buying a house thing that you're supposed to location. Everyone's going, "Wow, look at you." And I'm telling them, "Well, I bought this 3-bedroom massive house and it's got up in here." "Wow, how did you?" In Waltham Street, you idiot.
Did you ever do the button? Just one button and the jacket at the top and the rest just left to its own devices? The flail?
You can't help but dress like flail, Harvey. You used to drive around the area in his big car, but then it all went wrong. And
it's a familiar story.
Spotting at your place.
We need some unusual facts. We're going to rustle some up, and we'll be back after this. Of course, let it be said of all the Jay Gold.
This whistling ending. Much underused now.
What else, Rich?
Other whistling songs. Me and Billy are down by the schoolyard. Wind of Change.
Billy Joel.
Oh, Stranger. Scorpions.
Stranger, yeah, the Scorpions.
Scorpions have been a bit quiet of late.
Wow.
It turns out the Wind of Change was unemployed.
they're working on something new with Bowling for Soup.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting involved. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, where, of course, it is Steven Seagal's birthday. Here he comes now. Happy birthday to the band himself.
Doesn't want
to be known as a sex symbol. Remember that. Doesn't want to be known just as a sex symbol.
No. Wants to be known as a blues musician with his band Thunderbox.
Yeah. Does he want to be known as a man whose head actually looks like a baby pig? If you were to take a baby pig and just draw a face on its back and then stand it up and then put oil on it, that's
that's what we'll be doing.
Unconvincing hairpiece
on tomorrow's show. Unusual facts. That's what we're playing today. We just want to hear about them. Ross has already dropped about 7 during that last song. Rick Parfitt, lead singer of Status Quo.
I don't know if this is true.
Right, well, let's just hear it. It's unusual, though.
Somebody told me that he had a dog that he only spoke to in German.
He trained it in German?
I believe so. I mean, I might have got it cheap off the German book. I don't know if I've told you that story about the Chris Rea.
Oh, yeah, Chris Rea.
Yeah, Chris Rea. A guy who went round to his house, and Chris Rea was building a fountain and it fell out of bricks. And, like, it looked like a child had made it.
Is that your victim, Zami?
What's this? And he went, I'm building a fountain. And he went, well, but you're a multimillionaire. Get someone to do that. No, I'll do it myself. And he had, like, bin bags. Like, it was somebody, like, he hadn't even got the right.
It's got to be better than Christopher Berg's one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christopher, he pops up. I watch a lot of religious television.
Really?
A huge amount of religious television. What with the fact that I'm not a fan of religion, that's very funny. And, Christopher now does the rounds on the, he's always on these, like, heaven and earth style shows, talking about his spirituality.
You know, is it one of the Baldwins has got Live In It. I think it's Stephen Baldwin has a church now called Live In It, which is like the skateboarding church.
Brilliant.
The Unusual Suspect.
Right. So
his book is called Book of Learning.
So do you think, what, and Jesus has like got a skateboard on him?
Must
be terrible. So when he falls, how does he stop himself? He's on the cross and that.
So the star of Biodome has started his own religion.
He's turned his back on Paulie Shaw and the whole Biodome era, and now it's all skateboard and Jesus.
The man who sang Don't Pay the Ferryman is showing up on religious. Isn't religion moving in a bold new direction?
Yeah.
How long before Screech starts his own church?
Bondo, because he's done the porn.
Yeah. He's done the
porn
for 30 centuries. Yeah. That's an unusual fact. We're looking for unusual facts. Stan Winston is, of course, the man who did all the animatronics for the Terminator.
Yeah.
Did he do Gremlins? I don't know. He directed Pumpkinhead.
It was Joe Dante.
There we go.
Joe Dante directed it.
The Gremlins themselves may have been a Stan Winston. What's your unusual Stan Winston fact, bro?
An unusual Stan Winston fact is the head of the Stan Winston creature shop.
Yeah.
Stan Winston stuff. It's got a monkey named after me.
But is it a real monkey or an animal?
Not really sure. Didn't like to ask.
When is Ross Noble making his screen debut?
I'd like that. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
You read it.
No, but the trouble is, if it got a credit, then he would be Ross Noble in America. And then if I get any gigs in America, I'd have to call myself Ross, not the monkey Noble. Which actually, I wouldn't mind. I'm going to be referred to that.
And if you brought that your DVD out with the monkey holding the DVD, they would think it's a monkey holding a DVD of an impersonation of a human.
That's exactly the sort of trouble you run into.
Here's an unusual fact. This is the kind of stuff we're looking for from the pages.
Here's a quick one for you.
It's a real one.
Discovered. You know how if you open, people think that owl poo. You know, maybe not. You know, owl poo. What? Tell me about owl poo. What do you know about owl poo?
You know,
Why isn't it dark?
Not really.
Okay.
It
comes out of an owl's ass.
Well, it does. But you know the
meat?
You
really
meat? Open up because the owls don't digest. If you snap open an owl poo, it's got the entire bones of a creature in it.
It's like a fortune.
You know that?
I didn't know they ate things. I thought they ate berries.
Really? Nice. Carnivorous
berries.
That's why they swoop with big claws. They swoop down and pick a berry. And sometimes you'll see them crushing grapes. They make their own wine, owl wine.
Lovely. They don't digest it. It's just a transportation.
Well, this is the thing. I was going to hit you with an unusual fact. Like, it turns out, I assumed everyone knew that. But it's actually, when you find pellets, right, you find owl pellets in the forest,
And when you crack them open, you're inside, you'll find the complete
noise
of,
yeah. Maybe a whistle.
Yeah.
Or a paper hat.
Yeah, little joke. Two out are playing pool. One says, two hits to you. The other one goes, no. Best old joke ever. Turns out that's not poo at all. I, for years, have gone around thinking that that owl pellet is poo. It's not. It's vomit.
Oh,
see? So they eat their stuff and then they vomit up the bone.
Like they vomit
up yeah.
Like little cases.
Yeah.
Little capsules of vomit.
Capsules of vomit. And for years, and I only found this out this week, when the owl information officer came to my
house, on the door.
Got a few things to clear up, Mr. Noble.
They're like Jehovah's Witnesses, but more owl beer. I'm interested in. And so, yeah, so and I thought for years that you went to Alpo and you discovered all the
things. For years, people have been snapping open Alpo. They've actually been snapping open owl vomit.
Yes.
How close do we feel now?
Sorry.
Right, no, but this, stuff, this is the kind of stuff we're looking for. Carrots. You know the carrot.
Don't make you see in the dark. No, that's true. You know, do you know where that comes from?
No.
Carrot seeds. Sorry, I'm sorry.
We're never going to get any.
We've got a lot of carrots back here.
Everyone thinks that carrots, you know, eat carrots helps see in the dark, right? But the nonsense. During the Second World War, there was too many. That was the one thing that you could produce in England, in the UK. You could just eat carrots. That's, people could grow them in their garden. But people didn't really like carrots too much, so the government printed up propaganda posters saying carrots help see in the dark.
That's
because there was blackout, and everyone couldn't see. And the one thing that people were frightened of was the dark, and they wanted to be able to see. Everyone started eating carrots. You see, the war effort.
I tell you what's good for during a drought, says the government. Daryl Summers' new album. So we can move them. Yeah. Listen to this. Carrots used to be purple. Did you know that?
No, carrots used to be purple.
They were crossbred to become orange by politically motivated Dutch farmers. Now, I don't know what sort of political advantage you've
got. What kind of platform is that?
I don't know. Have you heard that?
I have heard that one, and it's like that broccoli story.
What's
the broccoli was actually created by Albert Broccoli. To the guy who did Cubby Broccoli.
Cubby Broccoli, the guy who did the
Somebody
floated that on the show once before, and then we looked it up, and it turns out broccoli had been around since like the 12th century or something. So he went back in time, did he? Cubby Broccoli didn't have enough on his hands with The Spy Who Loved Me. I've got to go back in time and invent a vegetable named after
that. That was a real fact.
Apparently that's nonsense.
So vegetable-based facts is what we're after.
But the carrot used to be purple. Perfectly true.
Yeah. I do, clearly.
You know the best thing about eating broccoli and cauliflower is, for me, is it looks like tiny tree.
It does. Oh, it does.
And,
oh, it's so satisfying. It's trying to stand them all up like a little forest. Yeah. So satisfying. Call us with your unusual facts. Well, you can amaze Ross Noble.
Just one more?
Yeah.
Look at this. Stuff to buy, Ross. You said you bought a house. Maybe it was an ill-advised investment.
You said stop Dubai.
Stop Dubai.
Stop Dubai. Hate the country of Dubai.
Yeah.
Stop, go on.
Look at that. $1.1 million microphone.
Oh, look at that.
That's what we need on this show.
You know what I've got at home, right? And I'm not a bling-bling person at all. Well,
you can probably
tell. In fact, I look homeless. And I don't own anything. I don't own any jewelry. I own no bling. There's no, you know, I don't have anything. The one thing that I do have, which would fit into this category, which I owned and awed about buying it, and then the missus said, if you don't buy it, you'll regret that for the rest of your life. I have got a gold slinky.
And do you ever use it, or is it just standing on it?
I never touch the gold slinky.
That is an unusual fact. Call us with yours, anything at all. 133353. About the Carry On movies just for a moment. Ross Noble is with us at Triple M.
For longer.
It's unusual facts. Who's got one, Ed?
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks, Ed. How you doing, boys?
I'm really good. Well, we're good. I'm saying, speaking for everyone. Tell us for your facts.
Are you aware of the video game Mortal Kombat?
Yes, of course I am.
Now, as you all know, there's a lot of coloured ninjas in there.
Yeah.
And in Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, one of the ninjas is purple and named Rain. Because Ed Boon, creator of Mortal Kombat, is a huge Prince fan.
You can play it as a character with tofu for head.
That's a WWF attitude.
Ah,
another, claim game, but yeah, you're on the right track.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, but I think we can go a lot more unusual.
Andrew, how are you?
Not too bad, mate. How you going, boy?
Very good, too. Especially since we heard about that broccoli. You know broccoli? You know the vegetable broccoli?
Yeah.
When do you reckon that's a new thing or been around for centuries?
It's been around for centuries.
Exactly. Going to Wikipedia.
But then that's always a dangerous thing to share.
I fell for it.
What's your fact, Andrew?
If you eat too many carrots, your skin will actually turn orange. And just rub your hand on the skin. Do about 30 or 40 carrots and just rub your hand on the skin. You'll get an orange glow on your skin.
See, this seems to be the basis of fake tan everywhere.
Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah. Maybe Silvio Berlusconi.
Maybe that's his carrot bath every morning. That's a nice look. I'd love to know how many. If anyone can tell us how many carrots it is, I'd love to know.
Next.
And would your mouth go first? Would your mouth be the most orange?
Oh, that's true.
Are you teeth? Okay. All right, Peter, how are you?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Your facts, sir.
The vegetable squash was the first genetically designed vegetable specially made to present on a plate for dinner.
It looked like a duck originally.
And so why did they go with that particular shape, do we know?
I don't think squashes look that delicious.
I think back when it was... came about, it probably looked good on a plate. Now it just looks shocking.
Thank you very much, Peter. Sorry, Miss Jacks. You have to update the design, you know, get it to look like Anna Nicole.
I need to breed the word Stella McCartney on it. Then it'll suddenly be more attractive.
You'd think the scientist would have just changed the shape of Peter, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be easier than creating new vegetables?
They've got a lot on, well, yeah, on their plate, as it were.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, your spec.
In the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
yes.
Matthew Broderick and Jennifer Grey, who play brother and sister, were going out.
That's right. Another first spec, especially with Love on the Set, the mother and father. The people who play the mother and father of Ferris Bueller met on that film and ended up marrying each other.
Oh, there you go. Anyone else got a Ferris Bueller fact they want to get out of this system?
Helen Ruck disappeared and then showed up on that Spin City. That's all I know about that.
Helen Ruck was 30 at the time.
And Jeffrey Jones.
He was.
Probably some unusual facts that we shouldn't mention. Helen Ruck was 30 when he did that film.
Yeah, he was 30.
Helen Ruck was 30 in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Aren't you glad you came in, Ross? You're learning.
That is mind-blowing.
We have time for one more unusual fact.
Yes, let's go to Paul with a very strange description. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. It's completely not vegetable related.
Well, we'll see about that. What is it?
It's a little interactive. Put your hand flat on the desk for me.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Tuck your middle finger underneath your palm as far as it can go.
Yes.
Now try and lift your ring finger.
Oh. But you know, I really thought this was going to end with me giving myself the finger. That's what it was going to be.
Sorry,
no. Not very hard. Thank you, Paul. But I am getting some movement, though, man.
Yeah, get a little bit of movement, but not very much at all. Where if you tuck your ring finger under, you'll be able to lift your middle finger quite easily.
Look at that.
There you go. Swing the roundabout.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, for a very visual fact.
I'm going to do it. If I ever get trapped in rubble, I'm going to make sure that I took that finger and not... No, you laugh. I could see if you like that. Good. If as the rubble falls, just remember, tuck the ring finger.
There you go.
Ring finger in.
We are going to trap Ross Noble under some rubble, and we'll be back with the results next. Don't get there.
Thank you once again, and thanks to Dave.
Today, what you're looking for is a flip in the arms.